Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Monday, March 18th, 2019. We have 23 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule, and that's not even counting the six vessels that are awaiting orders at sea off the mouth of the river, waiting to come in. So lots of ship-watching opportunities today. In our marine weather forecast, high pressure remains inland over the Pacific Northwest. A dissipating front will push into our region on Wednesday, and a stronger front will move into our waters on Friday. We have a small craft advisory for winds in effect through this afternoon. That means winds 20 to 34 knots are possible. East winds today 10 to 15, gusting to 20, rising to 25 knots in the morning, then easing to 10 to 15 and 20 even, and with gusting to 20 in the afternoon. So it's going to be windy, but a little bit less windy in the afternoon. Wind waves from the east 3 feet at 5 seconds apart. West swells 6 feet at 12 seconds. Tides today, we have low tide around 5 a.m. on ocean beaches, high tide around 11 a.m. and low tide again around 6 p.m. But keep in mind that tides are different in different places, so use a phone app if you can to check the tides for wherever you're going. They're different from place to place. And some information about what's happening with the surf out there this morning from the data buoy off the mouth of the Columbia River this morning. East winds 20 knots, so it's blowing out there already. 6 feet high. Waves are about 6 feet high from the west. The water temperature, a chilly 48 degrees Fahrenheit, and the air temperature about 53 degrees as of about an hour ago. And today we're going to be talking about beaches. Where do they come from? I watched an interesting video, and I'm lining up an interview with seaside geologist Tom Horning all about beaches. It's a fascinating thing. We all go to the beach and kind of take it for granted. But where does all that sand come from? We'll talk about that today. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. 5 inbounders, 2 in the Astoria Anchorage. We have some ships that are awaiting orders in the Astoria Anchorage, and then we have some that are awaiting orders off Rice Island. That's about 5 of those, and 5 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. We've got the Argent Gerbera arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for Vancouver, Washington today. She's a petroleum tanker passing Astoria maybe around 9:30 this morning. That would put her in Vancouver by about 3:30 p.m. The Padulis Cherry is arriving from South Korea, headed for Vancouver, Washington. She'll pass Astoria around 1:30. Might see her in Vancouver by about 7:30 p.m. The African Gannet is arriving from China, headed for the Vancouver Anchorage. So it's a popular spot today for ships to go to. She's going eventually to the port of Portland. She's going to anchor in Vancouver, which is in the river, the Columbia River, between Vancouver and the port of Portland. And she's eventually going to move to the Port of Portland to pick up potash. She'll pass Astoria around 2:30 p.m., maybe arriving in the Vancouver Anchorage by about 8:30 p.m. The American Freedom is arriving from Anacortes. She's headed for Portland. She's carrying petroleum. She'll pass Astoria around 5:30 p.m., arriving in Portland maybe around 11:30 p.m. And the Fiji is arriving from South Korea, headed for Astoria's Anchorage. She's a wheat ship. She'll be heading upriver to pick up wheat, but she'll arrive in Astoria's Anchorage around 6:30 p.m. In our Astoria Anchorage, we have the Silver Oak headed for Longview to pick up soda ash. She's leaving around 1 a.m., probably arriving around 4:30 a.m., probably, or so very early in the morning she left and will be up there in Longview. The Rapallo is headed for Portland around 5 p.m. to pick up wheat. She'll arrive there maybe around, sometime around 11 p.m. In the Astoria Anchorage awaiting orders, we have the Seabiscuit, the Wookie, the Agios Nicholas, the Sea Melody One, the Lyric Harmony, and the Ogna. And in the Rice Island Anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria, the Kensei, the SSI Dignity, the Pan Star, the Kofco One, and the Sea Proteus. And I was noticing something when I was walking around in Astoria yesterday on the hillside, looking toward the anchorage, that when you kind of, if you're just at the downtown waterfront looking out, it looks like maybe kind of a mishmash of ships. But if you get up on the hill and look eastward, upriver, you can clearly see that the ships are lined up on either side of the shipping channel. So there is that dredged shipping channel that is 43 feet deep that goes through that area. But on either side, there are naturally deep areas that are outside the channel that are deep enough for those ships to anchor. And so they are pretty neatly lined up, like kind of at like almost like channel markers out there. So you can have a lot of ships out there at one time, as we do, as long as they are arranged on both sides of the channel there. And they're arranged apart just enough so that they can swing at anchor without hitting one another. In our outbounders, we have the Santa Maria leaving Kalama around 2:30 a.m., and she'll pass Astoria outbound, or did, about 7:30 this morning. And we have a cruise ship coming downriver today. She's not carrying passengers. She's leaving the shipyard at Swan Island around 8 a.m. and probably passing Astoria outbound around 2 p.m. She was in the shipyard for maintenance or repairs there and is now coming downriver and out to sea. So an interesting example of a cruise ship that is not stopping in Astoria, say, to handle passengers, but is instead here for other reasons. The Kemble Kong Kong is leaving Vancouver. She's a petroleum tanker, leaving around 2:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 8:30. The Glovis Sunrise is leaving Portland with Hyundais on board. She's a car carrier, leaving around 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. And the Columbia is a bulk carrier, leaving Portland with wheat on board about 6 p.m. Maybe you'll see her running lights going by around midnight. Well, I've been reading about beaches and learning more about beaches lately, and so I thought it would be interesting to spend some time talking about that. I have a request out for an interview with geologist Tom Horning, and if you're familiar with him, he's a very knowledgeable guy, talks a lot about emergency preparedness, really understands the geology of our area, and I'm hoping to do an interview with him this week about the beaches in our area, the jetties at the mouth of the river, all these things that are part of the dynamic system that involves our estuary and the ocean beaches and all these things that make our area what it is. So I thought it would be interesting to talk a little bit with you today about something we don't really think about, and I certainly didn't think about. Where do beaches come from? You know, we go out on the beach and there is all that sand. It just sort of always seems to be there. Where did it come from? Well, in actuality, beaches are mountains. So how does that work? Well, a lot of tributaries and waterways feed into from the inland into the coast, and that's probably true all over the world. So what happens is that mountains that through rain and erosion from waterways, little bits of the mountains are eroding away all the time. They're being pulled away and by spring runoff, by the natural flow of the rivers and tributaries and streams. And all that stuff ends up flowing downstream. The bigger boulders and chunks get caught in the riverbanks. The very, very light silt gets washed out to sea. And what's left is this tiny, fine, granular stuff here on our beaches that we know of as sand. But it basically, they're very, very tiny rocks. Now, beaches all over the world are made up by what's around them. So whatever the geology is of the area is going to end up on the beach. So in some places like Hawaii or even on the Oregon coast, in places you'll see beaches that are dark colored from the color of the rocks that have been pummeled into sand. Here we tend to have fine, lighter colored sand. Some beaches in the world have small rocks or sharp rocks. It really just depends on the geology of the area. But beaches are in motion all the time. In fact, you could even call them a river of sand. The sand is moving up or down the coast, depending on the prevailing conditions where you are. In our part of the Oregon coast, sand and current tends to move northward. So something floating out of the river here on the Columbia will tend to be pulled up to the Long Beach Peninsula. We see that when buoys come loose, they end up up on the peninsula beaches instead of southward. So sand is deposited. It's taken away. If you look at a photo of a beach in winter here, it'll look more scoured out than in summer when the storms pull the sand away and then in summer deposit it back. So there's a lot more to talk about, and we'll talk about this more. But beaches are fascinating places that are just about as dynamic as the water that washes up on our shores. Very interesting geological facet of the wonderful place where we live. You're listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.